preacher.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, son. Amen. All right, you may be seated tonight. You're glad you're saved. Well, praise the Lord for the goodness of God. And it's good to be back in cold Florida. Everywhere I went this year, I've like to froze to death. I went to a few churches and thought I was going to freeze to death. Man, I'm glad to be here, and I do love your pastor, my grandson. God bless him. And I do love him dearly. He is a wonderful preacher. And I'll tell you, he's a fine man. And I appreciate his family. And it's good to see these young uns around here. A lot of them wasn't even born. First time I preached in this church, I actually preached in the older church. And we watched them grow up. And man, I'll tell you, God is good.
Amen.
There's nothing more encouraging to an old man than to see another generation step up. And come right ahead, preach the Bible, sing the good songs of Zion. Man, it's good to be here. How many of you are all here tonight? You're all here. How many are not all here? How many feels like somebody beside of you ain't never been all here? God bless you. Well, he won't be back tomorrow night, praise God. Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. Now, you know this. You've been told this many times. But one of the great ways to study your Bible is to use what we call the law or the principle of first mission. In other words, when you read something for the very first time in the Bible, it's big. Because what it does, it sets the stage of every time you read it after that. There'll be certain characteristics that will always be there. For instance, the first time you read the word love in the Bible is in Genesis 22. Abraham and Isaac walking up the mountain to sacrifice. What a vivid, wonderful picture of the substitutionary death of Christ upon the cross. And the greatest definition and the greatest manifestation of love was when Jesus died for our sins. The first time you read the word worship in the Bible is in Genesis 22 as well. Abraham is not offering God his best. He is offering God his all. And you and I can never really worship God till we give him not just our best, but our all. The first time you read the word shield in the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 15. Abraham has made all of those confederated kings mad, and they're coming after him. And they've seen him a threat. I'm going to wipe you and your little family off the face of the earth. Oh, but that night by a smoking furnace and a burning lamp, God said, "Fear not. I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. I'm not just enough, but I'm more than enough to take care of you." The law, the principle of first mission. Well, when we come to our text tonight, we're going to meet somebody for the very first time. And what he is doing the first time we meet him, he's still doing it tonight. And it was so powerful what he did the first time he did it, the first time we met it. We are still feeling the effects of it tonight. Before I read about it, let me ask you two questions. Number one, how many would agree with me that the Bible is the greatest book that's ever been written? How many would agree with me tonight? Number two, I love this. That the story, the revelation of God's truth is the greatest revelation that's ever been given to mankind. Well, here's what blesses me. God is about to write the greatest book that's ever been written. And it's not even two complete verses into it till we meet somebody for the very first time. God is about to give man the greatest revelation that's ever been given. And he's not even two verses deep into it till we meet somebody for the very first time. I would say if God introduces us to somebody in the first two verses of the Bible, it is important that we get to know who he is. And what he did the first time we meet him, he's still doing it tonight. Let's read about it in verse 1 and verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And by the way, I still believe that. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Here we go. First mention. And the Spirit of God. I mean, God's not even written two complete verses till he says you need to get to meet the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost. Why would God introduce us to him right at the start? Because later on, God is going to say, not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God is going to give us later on in his revelation this truth, that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So God initiates, God immediately introduces us to the Holy Ghost. And what he does the first time we met him, he's still doing. And what he did the first time he did it, the first time we met him, it's so powerful that we're still feeling the results of it tonight. And notice what he did the first time we meet the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God, say it with me, moved upon the face of the waters. You know what the Holy Spirit did the first time we met him? He moved. And I'm glad he's still moving tonight. And that initial movement was so powerful, the first time he did it, it's still in effect tonight. Because when he moved this time, he set the whole world and set the whole earth into perpetual motion. He moved, and she's still moving. Why, this earth we're sitting on tonight is in perpetual motion. This earth that we're sitting on tonight is constantly moving. You say, well, I don't think it's moving. You get a good case of vertigo, praise God, and you'll think it's moving. Why, right now, it's orbiting out in space. Why, this very moment, it is spinning upon its axis. Right now, the waters are going in and out and in and out. Air is moving through the universe. Right now, blood is pulsating through your body, and air is coming in and out of your lungs. The whole earth is still in a constant, perpetual motion because God moved upon it. You say, what has that got to do with me? That means if it moves on you, you'll move and you'll keep on moving. And if God moves on the church will move, and it'll keep on moving. The first time we meet the Holy Spirit, he's still moving, and I'm glad he's still moving tonight. I love the little word moved in the text. They say it's a word that means to hover, to brood, to quiver. It means to cause a warm mass of incubating air to hover and literally. You know what God did the first time we met him? He. And you know what God is still doing tonight? And you know what we need more than ever tonight? Lord God, somebody open the windows of heaven and let the wind blow. The moving and the breath and the hovering and the life-giving force of God moved, and it's still moving. And what we need tonight is the moving and the power and the influence and the breath and the of the Holy Ghost. Write this word down tonight. Creation. How did the world get here? God into existence. No, a Noah over here didn't run into a Noah over there, and that was a big bang. That's not how it got here. You know how the world got here? God stepped out upon nothing and said, and let me ask you this tonight. If God can move and God can breathe and give us something as big and beautiful and majestic as this world in which we live, what would happen in the church tonight if God would breathe and move upon us again? Boy, what a beautiful world in which we live. As you get to travel across the country, one of the joys of it, you get to behold the beauty of this world, this planet called Earth. Why, down here today, we flew over that big bowl of water out here, named after that Indian, whatever it is. How beautiful that was. Not long ago, we flew over the Grand Canyon, and it was a clear day, and man, I looked out my window. And when I looked down, I thought about that boy from Alabama that went to the Grand Canyon the first time. He walked up to the edge and went, something happened around here. Boy, the beauty of the sunset. The beauty of the stars and the beauty of the clouds. It got here because a sovereign, holy God moved and breathed it into existence. And if God can breathe on a ball of dirt and give us this earth, what could we have tonight in the church of the living God if God would move and hover and quiver and breathe on us again? Creation, because God breathed it. Number two, write down this word tonight. The incarnation. In other words, how did Jesus Christ get to this earth as the virgin-born Son of the living God? I'll tell you how. God breathed Him into existence. Boy, that night, that little virgin is laying there in the bed, and God wakes her up and says, "You're going to have a child." And she said, "I just got one question. How?" Now that's a legitimate question. She said, "I've never known a man. How?" He said, "Hon, this is what's going to happen. The power of the Most High is going to," same picture word, "overshadow." The power of the Most High is going to, and you're going to bring forth a sinless, virgin-born Son. And can I remind you that Christmas, when she laid Him in the manger and the angel sang the glory down, that was the result of the moving and the breath and the power of God bringing us a immaculate, sinless, impeccable, perfect, eternal Savior. And Jesus is His name. One guy said to me, "I don't believe in the virgin birth because it was a biological impossibility." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "It's impossible for a child to be born without a mother and a father." I said, "Well, There was a man one time by the name of Adam that didn't have no mama nor daddy. And if God can reach and get some virgin clay and make him a man, God, who is sovereign, can reach in a virgin womb and bring out the God-man, the perfect, holy, eternal, living Son of the living God. You know why when a woman gets married, she drops her last name and takes on the name of her husband? Because the children she will bear him will literally have his blood pumping through their veins. Ladies, that's a good deal. Because when your child does something stupid, and it will, you can literally say, "George, they're yours." That's a good deal. A lot of you know Mrs. Arthur, my wife. She's a wonderful Christian lady. And when our children were small and doing well and excelling in college and school and scholarships and awards and doing great things, it's like, "Oh, Joe, our children, man. Oh, Joe, praise the Lord, our children." But you let one of them do something dumb. You let Joanna wreck the car. Once, twice, three, four, five, six. And to be complete, number seven. You know it is bad when your insurance sends you a letter, "Dr. Arthur, you got to sign a paper not to let the rambling wreck drive another car, or we're going to cut you off." Boy, she got married to Meathead, and the first thing I did, I sold her car, and that guy I sold it to, he said, "Reverend Arthur, has this car ever been in an accident?" I said, "As many times as Carter's got peanuts." Joseph could do something dumb at school, and she'd say, that boy of yours, that daughter of yours, and I'd say, "Get behind me, Satan." And that wasn't the right thing to say. Oh, them children have their daddy's DNA pumping through their bloodstream. Can I remind you that Jesus had an earthly mother by the name of Mary, but he had a heavenly, holy, perfect, sovereign, eternal Father, God Almighty, and therefore the blood that he shed on Calvary was pure blood and perfect blood and holy blood and sinless blood and eternal blood. He got here because God breathe him into existence. And the Spirit of God, woo, moved. Breathe. Thank God for the breath. Number three, write this word down. Inspiration. How did the world get here? God. Jesus got here. How? God. All right? How did this get here? The inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. How did our Bible get here? And the Spirit of God breathed into existence. Holy men of old spake as they were, same word, by the Holy Ghost. For all Scripture, not some Scriptures, not partial Scriptures, not every other Scriptures, not even our favorite Scriptures, but all Scripture is given by Theopneustos, the angelic breath of God. Hey, our Bible tonight is holy and perfect and sinless and pure and eternal because it got here by the breath and the moving of God. most all Christian faiths believe in revelation, that God revealed Himself. And then some of them that are more conservative than others even believe in inspiration, that God has inspired His revelation. The people like you and me that's done climbed the tree and got out on the limb, we go beyond revelation, we go beyond inspiration, and we believe in preservation. God one time wanted to argue with me the inerrancy of Scripture. And he said, "Oh, Dr. Arthur, oh man, you must mean the originals." I said, "Do what?" He said, "You must mean the originals." I said, "No, I mean this one." I've never seen an original. I've never met anybody that ever saw an original. I don't even know if I can read an original if I saw it. But I believe this one that I hold in my hand is the holy, pure, immaculate, God-breathed, perfect, inspired Bible. God has preserved His Word. Now, you younger folks ain't gonna get this illustration. But you old people will. How many remember growing up and in the summer, your mom or your grandmother was called putting up stuff? You know, putting up stuff. They'd take them corn and beans and tomatoes and strawberries and all that kind of stuff, and they put it up. Man, they'd go out there and get those mason jars. Now, some of y'all from Tennessee. Yeah. You're drunk out of it. You didn't eat out of it. Boy, they'd put that stuff in them jars. And they'd put that rubber seal on that jar, and boy, you knew it was on there good and right when it'd go to pop. Because what's going to happen about November and December and January? I'm going to say to my grandma, "Grandma, I sure would love to have some of them strawberries. I sure would love to have some of them blueberries. I sure would love to have some of them blackberries." She's not going to go tell me, "Well, go out there and pick some originals." Because they're not growing out there originally in November, December, January, and February. But she'll say, "Oh, honey, I tempted you with that. Bring me one of them jars." And she'll open up one of them jars. And guess what's in them jars? Strawberries, blueberries, and blackberries. And not just strawberries and blueberries and blackberries, but the same strawberries, and the same blackberries, and the same blueberries. They look like blueberries. They taste like blueberries. Because they are blueberries. They're the same blueberries. They have been preserved. I'm glad when you open this book, it's the same power, and the same Holy Ghost, and the same blood, and the same unction, and the same breath, and the same truth. It's been preserved. Can I tell you how far out on the limb that I am? I even believe in what it says on the inside. Genuine leather. It's the only book I know that when you open it, the wind blows. It's the only book I know that when you open it, God speaks. Boy, back during the summer, real hot and dry, and those leaves got all crumbly and parched. Oh, but a little dark cloud begins to form. A little gentle breeze begins to blow. And them leaves go to tapping one another, saying, it's about to rain. I want you to participate with me tonight. I want you to hold your Bible in your left hand. And I want you to take your right hand, and when I tell you to, I want you to turn. And it doesn't matter where you turn, because wherever you land, it's the Word of God. You ready? Turn. Ain't that the prettiest sound you ever heard? I just like the way it sounds. Are you ready? Turn. Oh, you know what that sounds like to me? That sounds like them leaves tapping one another on the shoulder saying, it's about to rain, because I'm glad you're in this book. The rain comes, the wind blows, God speaks. This eternal word came to us by the breath and the moving of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I like it. Number four, write this word down. Regeneration. How did the world he got to get here? God breathed it. How did Jesus become the sinless Son of God? God breathed it. How did we get a reliable, faithful, inspired, preserved Bible? God breathed it. Let me ask you this. How did you and I get here? Saved. Sins forgiven. Past erased. Name written in heaven. God's Holy Ghost breathed upon us. You can't psychoanalyze a man into the kingdom of God. He's got to get born again. Regenerated. That means the breath and the moving of the Holy Ghost transports him out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He gets born again. Thank God for regeneration. You can't talk him into it. I love this. We have some life coaches at our church. Well, hallelujah. May somebody bring the Holy Ghost and God birth some people into the family of God. You can't counsel them into salvation. You can't coach them into salvation. Hey, the Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and the blood of Christ, and He breathes and He moves, and we're regenerated. We're born again. I got to be careful. We're on TV. Can I just do this one time? Hello, Mom. Way back in my high school days, I got called to preach in the summer of my 10th grade year. By the time I started as a junior, I was preaching. I had a biology teacher, and when he found out that I was a young preacher, boy, he zeroed in on me. He didn't teach evolution. He didn't teach evolution as a theory. He taught it as a fact. I'll tell you, only one time did he shake me. He brought his wife to a PTA meeting. When I saw her, I thought, oh God, that's the missing link sure in the world. Lawsuit. My daughter's a lawyer. We can handle it. I remember being in his class, and in his science class, and he was telling me that there is the plant kingdom, and that was the animal kingdom, and then that was man's kingdom. But he didn't tell me about another one called the kingdom of God. But he did teach me this. He said everything is trapped. Each entity is trapped in its own kingdom. other words, a plant can't become nothing but a plant, and an animal can't become nothing but an animal, and an animal, and a man can't become nothing but a man. Each entity is trapped in its kingdom. It's conceived as a plant, it lives like a plant, it dies like a plant. It's conceived as an animal, lives like an animal, and dies like an animal, and it's born like a man, conceived like a man, lives like a man, dies like a man. Everything is trapped, each entity is trapped in its own kingdom. But when I begin to hear about the kingdom of God, I thought, well, it can't be any good because I'm trapped in my kingdom. I figured if it's impossible for a plant to become an animal and an animal to become a man, it must be impossible for a man to get out of his kingdom and get the kingdom of God. But he said something one day, this has been years ago, he said, we're trying to figure out how to regene. He said, somehow, if we could regene the plant and make it an animal, and regene the animal and make it a man, we could live through the process of regening each entity out of its kingdom. Let me just stop and say, God had that a long time before he ever thought about trying to figure it out. It may be impossible for that plant to become an animal, and it may be impossible for that animal to become a man, but through regeneration, being born again, it is not impossible for a man to be lifted out of this kingdom, the kingdom of death, and the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of hell, and get regened, regenerated, born again into the kingdom of life, into the kingdom of life, into the kingdom of God. Amen. He breathed upon me. I didn't sign a card, shake your hand. I got regened. Regenerated. Oh, let me just say it like this. The very, oh my. This is big. The very life of God Himself. Woo! Came on the inside. I may borrow a line from my dear Indian brother. Oh, I like what you said. Man, we're just going to live forever. We just don't see Jesus. I may borrow a phrase from one of my heroes, Brother Sammy Allen. Brother Sammy said, hey, hey friend, we're just going to live as long as Jesus does. Hey, you know why? I'm saved forever. Because the forever blood and the forever Holy Ghost translated me and redeemed me and regenerated me in the eternal kingdom. Oh, the kingdom of God. I'm glad I've been under the spout where the breath is coming out. Woo, I'm enjoying this. Hey, write down this word. Dedication. How did the world get here? God breathed it into existence. How did our Bible get here? God breathed it into existence. How did Jesus become the virgin born Son of God? God breathed it into existence. How did we get saved and pass from death unto life? God breathed upon us. Let me ask you this. How can people like you and I, as our dear brother preached upon, still tempted and trapped in an old body of flesh, live a holy, dedicated, consecrated life that pleases God? It's impossible without the. How many believe that creation was impossible outside of the breath of God? How many believe a perfect Savior is impossible without the breath of God? How many believe that Jesus Christ is impossible without the breath of God? How many believes old time, no so, salvation is impossible without the breath of God? Well, just as impossible and more for you and I to live a holy life that pleases God without the breath and the moving of the Holy Spirit. John chapter number 20, Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's about to show himself alive by many infallible proofs. And he walks in that upper room and he doesn't even ring the bell or knock on the door. He just steps in. Number one, he gives them peace. He said, be not afraid. Why did he say that? Because he probably scared the devil out of him when he walked through that door. Then he gave them a plan. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Get out of here and go to all the world and preach the gospel under every creature. Before he walked out of that door, he gave them more than peace. And he gave them more than a plan. He pulled those 11 men up close to himself. And the Word of God said, and he breathed on them. And the rest, Lord of God, I feel like preaching right there. And the rest is history. Because those 11 men walked out of that room under the influence of the breath, and the world has never been the same. Christianity is still alive today because of what God did in that upper room. For 2,000 years, drunkards got sober, and rapers got saved, and heathens got sanctified and civilized. And the church one day is going to get glorified all because of what God did in that upper room. And if God can breathe on 11 men and the world never be the same for 2,000 years, what in the world could take place in this room tonight if God would breathe on us again?
Amen.
Those 11 men changed the world through the breath. I believe we can change our world if we get under the spout where the is a cutting out. I'll not tell you where. That's not important. But I was preaching in your state, the state of Florida. And I preached one night on the Spirit-filled life. And during that message, I made the pastor mad. I'm talking fire-breathing mad. So needless to say, when he picked me up the next morning to take me to the airport, which for him was a pleasure trip, the ride was rather cold. I got ready to get out of the car and he says, hey, Dr. Arthur, by the way, I want you to know this before you leave. I don't believe one word of what you preached last night. And I said, my dear brother, before I get out of your piece of junk of a car, I mean, by God, it was a Dodge. Can I get a witness of mine? I said, before I get out of your car, I want you to know I believe it enough for me and you both. And I said, and furthermore, if you don't want your dose, pass her down my way. I'll take some more of it. Because it is our birthright, Lord have mercy. It is our birthright as a child of God not to be drunk with wine, but be filled and anointed and empowered with the breath of the Holy Spirit. I know it's late, but I got to tell you this. I took our little church in 1984. We had 35 and a half in church that day. You say, half? Yeah, we had one big old fat guy, and we counted him once and a half. And for the first 15 years, buddy, it was a struggle. I hear these preachers talk about, did you ever have a honeymoon? A couple of nightmares. I love Mays Jackson. He told me something one time ain't right. He said, Joe, take that church when it's on the bottom, son. There ain't but one way it can go. Mays, there is another way out. It was a struggle. It was a struggle. I remember one of our Sunday night services. That's why Sunday night is precious to me. Amen. Nearly every service where God shoved our church to the next level was a Sunday night. You see, I thought that was family night. There's nothing greater you can do with your family than go to church on Sunday night. We started at 6 o'clock. Old Brother Angel, who's now with the Lord, said, let's stand and sing 113 in the Red Book. That's down at the cross where my Savior died. Glory to His name. And about the third measure in that song, our little old building at that time had a little old door on this side of the pulpit that went down a little hallway. And it was like about third, three measures into that glory to His name. That door opened. And God said, I'm here. We started at 6 o'clock and we got out at 10:30. Those of you that know my wife, she's very elegant. She's very reserved. I told her the other day she would have made a great Presbyterian preacher's wife. She said, I may, but right now I'm married to a loudmouth Baptist, so be quiet. And again I said, get behind me, Satan. I got to stop saying that. She's not a shout. She's very, very reserved. About 10 o'clock, she had my little boy and my little girl in the nursery changing her diapers. She said to some of the ladies, I think I'll go see what's keeping Reverend Arthur. And let me just say this. If you've never kept the nursery from 6 to 10, don't knock it. The closest thing you'll be to the last 3.5 weeks of the Great Tribulation period is in the nursery. From 6 to 10 o'clock at night. That'll shake your eschatology. She said, I better go see what's keeping the reverend. Now, if my wife was here tonight to tell you this story, she can't talk about it without just weeping. Cold chills will still come up all over her arms and hands when she tells you this. She said, Joe, I walked in the door in the back. She said, I heard my pawpaw preach on it. But I saw it. She said, I saw the cloud. She said, honey, it was plumb foggy. She said the fog had rolled in. And she said, I stepped back and said, I ain't going to go in there. And that night, people got saved, called to preach, sent to the mission field. And people, all these many years later, almost 20 years later, can still talk about it. You say, I don't believe that. I was there.
Amen.
God changed my ministry that night. I said, God changed my ministry that night. God changed my family that night. God changed the whole atmosphere and dream and direction of our church. You'll love this. Other Sunday morning, I gave the invitation. An old man in a walker came down there and said, Brother Joe, you remember me? And I said, sir, you look kind of familiar. He said, well, I should. He said, you remember that night when we had that gully washer? And that's all you got to say to most people in our church. Do you remember that night? That's all you got to say. You remember that night? I said, oh yeah. He said, you remember this man getting up in the back and saying, hey, Brother Joe, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. But I'll never convince my wife I've been to church from 6 to 10. I got to go home. I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, that was me. He said, you don't know this part. He said, about a mile down the road, I got pulled over by the police. And the police come up there and said, dear God, man, you're drunk. He said, no, I'm not. He said, where have you been? He said, I've been down to the tabernacle and the Holy Ghost has come upon us. He said, well, we're going to be careful. He said, Brother Joe, the reason why you've not seen me then, the next week my wife got sick and we had to move to Alabama to live with our son. But my wife passed away the other day and I moved back to this area to live with my grandson. And I just wanted to, whew, I just wanted to, oh God, I just wanted to come over and see if he was still here.
Amen.
Hey.
Open the windows. And let the wind blow. First time we meet the Holy Ghost, He's breathing. He's still breathing. He can breathe upon us. One breath of God change your life. One breath of God change your family. One breath of God change your ministry. One breath from God will change a church.
Amen.
Thank God for the breath. Let's stand together tonight, oh God, in Jesus' name. Lord, just like you breathed on that ball of dirt. Just like you breathed into that virgin womb. Just like you breathed on holy men of old. Just like you breathed on a dead, depraved sinner when we got saved. God, breathe upon us again. Like you breathed in that upper room. God, breathe on us again. Lord, I believe with all my heart tonight there's not one problem in our nation and in our homes and in our families and in our churches that can't be solved. Just breathe on us again. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.